again. This morning we're going to be in the book of Judges. We're going to talk about a familiar character, Samson. We're going to look at Samson's short-sightedness. See, the book of Judges is a book about cycles. Cycles consist of disobedience to God, delivered into the hands of their enemies, the repentance, and then the defeat of their enemies. This cycle is repeated 7 times in the book of Judges. The story of Simon's life occurs in the 7th and final cycle. In verse 1, we see the beginning of the final cycle. You see, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. The Philistines were idolaters. They came out of the land of Egypt and were possibly related to the ancient Babylonians. They were enemies of Israel, and yet God allowed these wicked men to have dominion over his people. He had hopes of bringing them to repentance yet one more time. See, this is the patience of God. This is his loving kindness. His love that allows us to stray and then gives us the time to draw us back. Israel was backslidden and in bondage. Let's look at Judges 13:1. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. The words that just jump out to me out of this verse is the words, Israel did evil. See, that's the story of Israel from the very start. We always read, Israel did evil, and then they repent. It was a cycle they kept repeating again and again. It was an on-again, off-again relationship with God that cycled through and through. See, in judgment, God will allow the heathens, the adulterers, dominion over his people, use them as the instrument of his punishment. But such is the nature of sin of the believers. And I believe that is just as true today for us as it was for Israel. We live our lives in a cycle of rebellion, repentance, forgiveness, and then we slip into rebellion one more time. You see, sin promises cheer, but delivers chains. Sin promises fulfillment, but delivers failure and bondage. Let's look at Judges 13:2. There was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Damites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. We need to pay particular attention to this. His wife was barren, they had no children. At that time, this period of history, you look upon a woman who was barren, it was thought that she was in disfavor with God. Something was wrong. And they were looked down upon. But see, God, in his marvelous wisdom, he'll pick those that are thought low of, those who are downtrodden, and use them of getting his point across. You see, I believe that God permitted this woman, this barren woman, to have this child. He used her to make a point about where the nation of Israel was. The nation of Israel was also barren. They were without faith. They rebelled against God yet again. They were spiritually unproductive. They did nothing for God. But God, through the birth of Samson, wanted to prove that he was willing to turn barrenness into a blessing if Israel was willing to repent and turn back to him. The announcement came via an angel. We've seen this before. Judges 13:3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." See, angels are messengers. They announced the birth of some of the most significant persons. They announced Isaac, John the Baptist, and of course Jesus Christ. This should have been great and exciting news for Manoah's wife. But she had her fears. Fear of the unknown, the things that lay before us. Just like we do today. When we live our life in sin, we're living in barrenness. We're unproductive. And we need to look to God to see the announcements that he has for our lives. Judges 13:4-5 says, "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or a similar drink, not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Now the laws pertaining to be a Nazarite are found in Numbers 6:2-21, and we're not going to go there today. But in many cases, someone who took the vow of a Nazarite only did it for a specific amount of time. During that time, the person was wholly separated unto God. It was demonstrated by eating or drinking nothing that came from the vine or anything that was ceremonially unclean. They did not cut their hair, and they did not come in the proximity of anything that was dead. The difference in Samson's case, he was vowed to be a Nazarene from his birth clear through his death, to always live separated, God's special instrument. Judges 13:7 tells us, "And he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor call anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." They called the angel back to make sure that this truly was going to happen. They prayed to God, the angel came and retold them the rules. Now for us, we're in that place in our lives where we're separated from God. We're living in that barrenness. Doesn't God set some rules for us if we want to improve our condition? We have to separate ourselves. But that's from the worldly things, the things that drew us down to that place, the things that separated us from God. She wasn't allowed to drink wine, eat anything that grew on a vine. She couldn't eat any unclean food. These were strict rules that God put in place. Do you believe that God has strict rules for our lives? I think the rules are there. But if we want to, we can live by them. Samson was called into a special calling. His whole life was supposed to be a total commitment and service toward God. But when you think about it, isn't that what we're all called for? Aren't we all called from the grave to be separate, to be committed to our God, to serve Him? Look at Luke 16:13. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31, says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Jesus tells us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and the world around us. That's what manna is. We live in this world, but we don't exist for this world. We exist for God. And a way to look at it, as we go through our lives, whether we're at work, whether we're at church, or whether we're with our families, whatever we do it for the glory of God. Remember who you are and who you represent. But Samson was called to a deliverance. And it said, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now that sounds like a big job for one man. They were in bondage for 40 years under a whole country. You see, Samson was going to be the living example of God's strength and his power to deliver. Samson's mission in life was to be an instrument of deliverance. And again, the correlation to our lives, aren't we called to be the same thing, an instrument of deliverance? We won't fight battles and we won't fight wars like Samson did. But our deliverance, our instrument, is the Word of God. And those that will be delivered are the lost, the ones that we reach out to, the ones that God uses us to save. Just as God used Samson for a purpose, he's going to use each one of us as an instrument to save people. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And just so you know, he doesn't send you out alone. Look at Acts, where it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth. See, Samson wasn't sent out alone either. He was sent out with God's power and with God's blessings. Because you get right down to it, Samson was still only just a man. He was a man that was set aside by the way he lived his life, but he was still just a man. And without the God's power in his life, he couldn't have accomplished anything. Judges 13:24-25 says, so the woman bore a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manawak Dam between Zorah and Eshtol. You see, God's power comes upon us when we need it. Are you afraid to go witness? Are you afraid to share your Christian life? God's Word tells me that He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to overcome those fears. And more than that, He gives us the power of what to say. Judges 14:5-6, it says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and in the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. In his time of need, in his time of attack, God gave him the strength to protect himself. Samson ripped a young lion apart just like we'd pull a chicken wing off of a chicken for lunch. The power came from God, not from Samson. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He single-handedly killed 30 Philistines. 14:19 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel and gave them change of clothing to those who have explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. See, he had a little bet with some people. He had a riddle. And the ones that could answer it would get clothing. Well, they cheated. And it made him angry. And again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges 15:14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, killed 1,000 men with it. Again, the strength come from God. He was just a man. His own people were going to give him over to the Philistines. They bound him with new rope because they were afraid. Samson allowed this to happen because he knew the power of the Lord would free him. The sad part of this is that this verse is the last time we hear the phrase, the power of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, excuse me. Because, see, Samson wasn't without sin in his life. Even though he was a Nazarene, he was raised to be a Nazarene, he allowed the world to slip in. Just as we're raised to be separated, to allow the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us, we too can allow the world to come in. Sometimes there's pride that comes creeping in, very subtle. They say it sneaks in on cat's paws. Paul W. Powell once observed, pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness and our virtues become vices. Samson knowingly broke the Nazarene's code. Judges 14:3 said, and his mother and father said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. See, the Israelites were forbidden to marry outside of their own people, because God knew what would happen. If they intermingled with the heathen that was around them, they would be drawn out. They would be drawn away from God, because that was the cycle of the Israelites. Samson entered into this relationship knowingly. He knew he was breaking his vow, but he did it anyway. James 1:15 says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When it is full grown, it brings forth death. Not every sin in our lives will bring forth a physical death. But I guarantee every sin in our life will bring forth the death of being separated from God. If we so want to hold on to the sin in our lives and keep practicing it, keep going against the word of God, that death will be separation from him. Not that you're no longer saved. Just that you no longer have a relationship. You no longer have that closeness to God because he can't look on your sin. And God knows your heart. He knows the sins that you won't let go of. Those ones that you nurture and continue to grow. The sins that keep you away from him. Nothing can be hidden from the eyes of God. But he loves us and he gives us time. Just as the cycles of Israel, it's the same with the cycles in our lives as we allow something to draw us away and then return to him. See, he was forbidden to be around death or carcasses. But even then, in Judges 14, 8, and 9, it says, after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. And when came to his father and his mother, he gave some of it to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Why do you suppose he didn't tell them where he got the honey? You suppose maybe he was a little bit ashamed? The carcass of the lion represents sin. It was unclean. And he knew he was breaking the Nazarite's vow, their code, to go near that carcass of the lion. And on top of that, he dipped into the sweetness of the honey, the sweetness that we sometimes think we'll find in the sin in our lives. But that sweetness is just rebellion to God. It's turning away from his word. Samson was told to stay away from the corruption of death. Just today as we're told to stay away from the corruption of the sin in our lives. Samson took it another step farther. It says it's in Judges 16:1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. This is where he met Delilah. Delilah was his downfall, the final straw. She was a pawn of the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that Samson was there, he was interested in Delilah. They paid her to bring Samson down. Judges 16:4. Afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. She tried and tried to find out what gave Samson his strength. And each time he jokingly told her something wrong. And then she would say, the Philistines are coming. And he would jump up and he would still have his strength. But little by little he got lured into her web, the web of sin. In Judges 16:19 through 20, it says, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man who had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at the other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. It says she lulled him to sleep. Sin does that to us. It's sweet, it's easy. It's good sometimes. And we're not paying attention. We have that false sense of security, that false sense of peace. It said Samson fell asleep on her knees. But what strikes me even more than that is the very last sentence. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He jumped up and thought he was just as good as he ever was, just as strong, that the Spirit of the Lord was still with him, and went out to do battle. Of course, he was overcome because the Lord did depart from him. Now, what about our lives? As we go through the things that we do, our daily business, the fun and the games that we engage in, the work and the strain, can you sense that God is still with you? Can you sense that you still have the Spirit of God guiding you and leading you? Well, just as Samson, if you allowed sin, the temptation of Delilah, the temptation of this world to overcome you, you don't have the strength of God behind you. God will not look upon our sins, and God will not bless the sinful things in our lives, and God will not give us strength to do those things. But if you turn to Him and you ask, you turn from those sins, He will be with you. God loves you, and He hears our voice. We find out that Samson, in verse 21, says, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. He pushed the stone that ground up the wheat. How far he fell. You see, sin blinded him, it bound him up, and it broke him. He was a broken man pushing that grinder. Many people, many successful people, that are living lives that look like they're successful, but they're wicked and self-centered. And little bit by little bit, while they think they have life by the tail, while they think they have everything under control, sin is gaining control of them. They are spiritually blinded, and they're bound to that sin. And the longer we practice that sin, the harder and harder and harder it is to break free. Samson's sin repaid him with death. Judges 16:27 through 31. He said, now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Samson has gone so low in his life, they brought him out like a trained monkey to look at him, to gawk at him, to make fun of him. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may be able with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temples fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed in his death were more than he killed in his life. Sin made Samson the laughing stock of his enemies. And it'll do the same thing to any one of the children of God that turns to sin and away from Him. Don't you think Satan rejoices when he can pull us away from God? Don't you think him and his minions laugh and take great joy in the fact that they've pulled us away? You see, when we're away from God, we're no use to Him. And Satan's won that little battle. But when we turn to God and we draw close to Him, then we're a threat. We turn back to God, just like Samson. He hears us. He gives us the strength that we need to accomplish His task, those things He has for us. I don't think anyone in this room He's going to call upon to kill 3,000 Philistines. But maybe He's going to call on everyone in this room to reach out to 3,000 lost souls. Maybe we turn back to Him. He'll give us the strength to see the work that He has for us, the power to accomplish that, and the wisdom to know what to say, the wisdom to see His path. See, right now, separated from God, we're short-sighted. We can't see the big picture. But we turn back to Him, and we'll see all that God wants us to see. I want to ask you all to please stand and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Samson was born a great man, a great soldier in Your army, Father, and sin crept into his life, Father. Just as each and every one of us here, You have great things for us. And like the nation of Israel, we allow sin to creep into our lives in cycles of sin and redemption and forgiveness. But Father, I just pray today that as we seek You out, as we turn to You, You will help us to be overcomers. We can overcome the sin before it enters in our life, before it gets a stranglehold on the things that we do. Father, I pray for everyone in here that You will give them the power to overcome, the wisdom to see what is coming, and the ability to hear Your voice, Father. I ask we be able to see Your vision as You have for each and every one of us, those things that You call us to do, the gifts that You give us to accomplish those tasks. Father, we gather here just to be close to You, to worship You, to praise You, and to gain strength from our closeness to You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I think we're just going to have some music. The altar is open. I know we all have things to pray about in our lives. Take this time just to pray, to draw close to God, to lay those things out that you want Him to hear. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just want to close this afternoon, Lord. We just want to take that message that Mike gave us and bring it full circle around. As you gave Samson the power, it was your power. It was not what Samson did in his own. When he tried to do it in his own, he failed. So we're just thanking you again that you're touching each of our hearts and our minds to let us know your wisdom and your power and your strength. And we especially uplift Mike and Robin as they have to make these decisions that will change lives, that they do your will. They have your wisdom, your strength, your peace that only comes through knowing you, and that we each can learn from this and grow from the experience of knowing you and doing your will in our lives, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.